Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we ask that you would give us the ability and the grace to be able to worship you and recognize you. So give us new eyes, give us new hearts, give us new ears, give us new hands, and open our mouths to bring praise and worship to you, for you alone are God. Lord Jesus, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there are no other crowns except on your head. We thank you that you have revealed your glory through your love and your mercy by demonstrating your love and the power of your love on the cross. You have been raised from the dead. You're seated on the throne in heaven. And our hope and our joy is to join you in the resurrected life, in heaven together for all eternity, in love, in joy, in safety, and in peace. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would give us that spirit, your spirit, the Holy Spirit, to properly worship you and delight in worshiping you and loving you. Not just this morning, but for all the days of our lives. Be in the moments of our life, and may our hearts have you enthroned. May we have you centered in our lives, and grant us the grace to see your glory and long for your return. Dear God, also on this Father's Day, we come to you with grateful hearts, acknowledging the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for the love and care that we have received in our homes and families, and for parents who have instilled in us a heavenly vision, and for families who work tirelessly to create a safe and loving environment for their children, even amidst struggles. We pray for families that have experienced hurts and sadness, asking for your healing hope and a vision for a better life and the world. May your love and grace shine upon them, and may they know that they are not alone. And finally, we pray for families that may not fit traditional models, such as single parents, multi-generational families, and those working hard to instill Christian values and beliefs in their children. And we ask that you would bless them too and guide them in their efforts to create a better world and to build your kingdom. And we offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. This is the CSB translation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. And everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. It is interesting to follow after such a wonderful and glorious worship service. It feels like this giant, you know, in the circuses when there's that giant cannon and it explodes with a big bang, but out rolls like a pea. And it's incredibly wonderful. It's such a blessing to worship together. This morning, we're spending Worship Sunday to talk about how worship celebrates God's story. And so this morning, because we have guests, we have children's worship joining us. Also, junior high worship is joining us as well. That this morning, I wouldn't just tell you about God's story. I would show you a story. One of my favorite stories, a children's story, that reflects the heart of God. This story is titled, You Are Special by Max Lucado. The Wemmicks were small wooden people. And all of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. And his workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, and others had large eyes. Some were very tall, and some were very short. And some wore hats, and others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the same village. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They had these boxes, and they would give stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of gray dot stickers. And up and down, they went up and down the streets all over the city, and the people spent their days sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. And still others knew big words and could sing beautiful songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. And every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. And it made them want to do something else to get another star. Others, though, they could do little. And they got dots. And there's one wooden person in particular named Punchinello. And he was one of those. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And then when he fell, the others would gather around him and give him dots. And then sometimes when he fell and he got his wood scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then he would try to explain why he fell, but he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. And then after a while, he had so many dots that he just didn't want to go outside anymore. He was afraid. He was afraid that he would do something dumb, like forget his hat or step in a puddle, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many gray dots that people would come up and give him a dot just for having so many gray dots. No reason at all. He would always hear from people, he deserves lots of dots. And the wooden people would look, and they would nod and agree with each other. He's not a good wooden person. And after a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times he went out, he hung around other Wemmicks who had lots of dots because he felt better around them. But one day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he's ever seen. She had no dots or stars. She was just a wooden person, and her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star. But it would just fall off. Others would look upon her and they say, oh, she has no stars. Let me give her a dot. But that dot wouldn't stay on her either. And Punchinello thought to himself, that's the way I want to be. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia said. Every day, I go see Eli. Eli? Yeah, Eli, the wood carver. I sit in the workshop with him. Why? Why don't you find out yourself? Go up the hill, he's there. And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. Punchinello said to himself, and he cried out, "But will he want to see me?" Lucia didn't hear that anymore. She was already gone. So Punchinello went home. And all through the night, he sat near a window looking out at the moon. And he watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. "It's not right," Punchinello said to himself. And he decided to go see Eli. And so he walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. And his wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. The bench was, he had to stretch on his tippy toes to be able to see on top of the workbench. There was a hammer that was as long as his arm. And Punchinello swallowed hard. "I'm not staying here." And he turned to leave. Then he heard his name. "Punchinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a look at you." And Punchinello slowly turned and looked at the large beard of the craftsman. You know my name?" the little Wemmick asked. "Of course I do. I made you." Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dots. "Looks like you've been given some bad marks."
"I didn't mean to, Eli. I tried. I really tried hard."
You don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think."
You don't?"
"No, and you shouldn't either. What are they? Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks, just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And what I think is that you are special."
Punchinello laughed. Me? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you?"
Eli looked at Punchinello and put his hands on his small wooden shoulders and spoke very slowly. "Because you are mine. That's why you matter to me." Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. And he didn't even know what to say.
"Every day I've been hoping that you'd come," Eli explained.
And then Punchinello said, "I came because I met someone who had no marks," said Punchinello. And Eli said, "I know. She told me about you."
Why don't the stickers stay on her?"
And the maker spoke softly, "Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. And the stickers only stick if you let them."
"And the stickers won't matter to you if you trust in my love. And the more you trust in my love, the less you'll care about those stickers."
Punchinello said, "I'm not sure I understand." And Eli smiled, and he said, "It will take some time. You have a lot of marks. But just for now, just come see me every day and let me remind you that I care."
And Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground.
"Remember," Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, "you are special because I made you, and I do not make mistakes."
Punchinello didn't stop. He just kept walking. But in his heart, he thought, I think he really means it. And the moment his heart thought that thought, a dot fell onto the ground. And that's the story of You Are Special by Max Lucado. In this story, we see the God figure who is Eli. And Eli has been the figure who creates all the Wemmicks. And in this story is the gospel. An aspect of this gospel, not the whole gospel, but a very important aspect, an aspect that allows us to have unlimited worship of God, is that our Creator has found it special to love us, each one of us, not by our own merit, and certainly not because of our mistakes, but He loves us because He created us. And in this story, for those of us who are learning about who God is and who Jesus is, it's important to remember that God cares. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God likes you? Do you think God likes you? Now let me ask you another question. Do you like yourself? Do you like yourself? And are those two views in agreement? This begins that conversation about the gospel, about God's love for you, and how your story is woven into God's story. All right. Before I wrap up, I want to share one thing for the grown-ups. For the grown-ups, thank you for paying attention. And also for the children and for the junior high worship and all of you, everyone. Everyone, thank you for paying attention. For the adults, I want you to pay attention to one thing. When Punchinello went to Eli's house, was the door locked? Was the door locked? He just went in, right? He didn't even think about it. He just went in. What the gospel tells us is that because of Jesus, the door will never be locked, because God's home is our home. And in Christ, what we read in 2 Corinthians 5, the ministry of reconciliation is because we are a new creation. The old is gone. The old rules, the old laws has been finished. And so in a sense, maybe you're an orphan and you were given a key and you were adopted into God's house. And for some reason you got lost and you lost your key. And you're wondering and worried, can you get into God's house? Well, guess what? Because of Jesus, He coded your fingerprint on the fingerprint sensor of God's front door. And so if you've got your thumb, you put your hand on the doorknob and that door will always be unlocked because of Christ. And if you understand the gospel, you understand that is good news. Because there's nothing worse than that feeling of being locked out of your own home. Right? There's nothing worse. And you will never, ever have to be banging on the door wondering if God can hear you. You never have to wonder by looking through the window, I see him there. You're not like a salesperson and like soliciting. They're like, I see you in there, come on out. God will never treat you like someone that's a salesperson. That door will never be locked because of what Christ has done. And that is good news. And that is our God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we worship you and we are delighted that we are able to trust in you and delight in you. We do not know why, aside from the fact that you have made us and you have declared us as special to you. And that work to bring us to a place where we are adopted and loved and treasured is through the work of Christ and not our work. And we thank you that there is nothing we need to do or even can do to add to the love you have for us. And there's nothing we can do to take away that love for us as well. Lord Jesus, you are so good, and we delight and love you.
Lord, we as we prepare to also bless those that have answered your call to go on missions, God, we pray that you would aid us to support the work that they're doing, to bring that light and story of hope that we are not alone and we are not abandoned and we do have a home. We are part of your family. What a wonderful, wonderful story. And may you help us to share that message of reconciliation, to be able to tell other people that because of Jesus, you will not find the door to God's home locked for you. But instead, you will always find the door to God's home open for you. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our STM teams are